Good morning. If only you heard what we hear, it would be awesome. You can't, though. It is so good to get to be with you this morning and share what we're going to be talking about. Honestly, it's very challenging. It's very challenging to teach about it. It's very challenging for any of us as believers to attain it. It's humility. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. It is one of those things that is just very tough. But it's one of those things that God has called us to, and I'm excited about getting a look at His Scripture and what it says about it, at least. I want to share a couple things with you before we even get into that. Number one, when you're on your way out, there are books that are on the piano right as you are leaving the worship center. Those are free. You're welcome to take those. You're welcome to, you know, even if you've got a friend that you feel like would benefit from one of those, don't just take them, you know, like prop stuff up. But, you know, if you, you know somebody could use it, take it. Make good use out of it. A couple other things we'll let you know about. Mackie Mallory is playing Friday night, 7 o'clock. They're opening for Big Daddy Weave at Rivers and Spires in Clarksville. That's kind of a big deal. That's a pretty cool gig to get to open for. That's a big artist. Big Daddy Weave is a big artist. It was at one time like a really big artist. But real cool that they're getting to open for them Friday night. So check them out Friday night, 7 o'clock. Foundations starts again tonight, like a new round of Foundations. If you didn't get to go through it last time, we've kind of condensed a little bit this time, at least, where it's going to be 4 weeks. So starting tonight for 4 weeks, 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, come check it out. It's good stuff. If you're a new believer, if you've been a believer all your life, this is just kind of honestly a good way to kind of just kind of come back and remind yourself some things about your spiritual walk, and I think it'll be good. So I get to go through most of it last time, in and out of Seattle. I didn't get to go through the entire thing. My home team is going through it tonight, and I'm going to be there just to make sure that they don't act up, because they do that. They were doing that the night we did the membership thing here. By the way, Foundations is something that we require for membership, so if you're wanting to be a member at 24, go through Foundations. It's a good thing. So that's tonight. And then I just want to say thanks to everybody that helped out last weekend. All three services, we had a ton of people helping out in different ways. And I hope that wet your whistle if you haven't been serving or whatever. I hope that that was something that maybe challenged you into thinking about, you know, doing that on a regular basis and serving God through the church and all that. So I've gotten to see, I just want to say this, I've gotten to see the fruit this week of what God began doing last weekend in some people's lives. I've gotten to see God just speak to some people's hearts, and they receive Christ, you know, their lives are changed forever. I've seen that this week. That's kind of happening, and that's happening in large part because many of you served and did many different things last week. And some of you served all three services. Some of you served a couple of services or whatever. And I just want to say thank you, because that's you guys. That's God using you guys to impact people's lives. So it's exciting stuff. It's really exciting stuff. And to kind of go along with that, I just want to say this, and I know this probably doesn't need to be said, but I'm going to say it because I think it's important. I think that we take for granted probably how many people come to church but do not know Jesus as their Savior. Like, they've been to church maybe even all their life and do not know Christ as their Savior. They've never received, they've never prayed and asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And I'm just continually moved and floored by how many people are in that situation. I've seen people that came from that situation this week, that came to Christ this week. I want to encourage you that if you are here, that the most important thing, in my opinion, what, you know, above and beyond anything else that's going on, there's nothing that trumps. If you ever want to talk to someone about what it means to know Christ as your Savior, please find one of us. We're here after the services. We're waiting, honestly, after services in that back corner just to talk to people that want to talk about that and pray about that. I don't care, in the middle of the service. Get up, go out in the foyer, look at whoever's sitting out there, the welcome desk or whatever, and just say, hey, I want to meet Jesus. You know, We'll help you out. They will help you out. It'll be the greatest thing that will happen to that person all day and probably all week. And so just please don't be afraid to take that step. If God is speaking in your heart, listen to that and go with it. And I want us to pray here in just a minute. We're gonna pray for folks that don't know Christ yet, and as part of what we're doing this morning. But then I also want to announce, and we're gonna pray for this as well, that not all that far away, May 21st, are when we are having the night lights. Now, many of you know past 24 Church. We've done this thing every year, big block party down the middle of Pleasant View called Jive, and kind of a little bit of a spinoff from this deal is last year we started these things called Neighborhood Nightlights. Now, here's kind of what's happened. The big block party thing has been great. It's been awesome. It's kind of had a life cycle like a lot of things do, and we've kind of seen some of that and just kind of, you know, gauging reaction to the community and all that kind of stuff with that. And the question we began to ask is there something that we can do that will allow us to build better, deeper relationships with the people that we are ministering to during that time? And so out of that came the idea and the thought, hey, what if we do block parties in our neighborhoods, not quite as big as that, but block parties in our neighborhoods where basically we have a cookout and we get to know our neighbors. And we did that last year. We started doing that, and that's the Neighborhood Nightlights. Well, it went awesome. It went awesome. You know, even in my little neighborhood, you know, I think at one point there was like 100 people hanging out. And some of these people were just like, Todd, I don't think there's 100 people living in my neighborhood, by the way. It was kind of strange. But I just people coming to help and everything. But, you know, what was so cool was, you know, there were people that had lived there for over 20, 30 years that said, you know, I have lived here for years, and we have always talked about trying to get everybody together so that we could meet our neighbors. Well, the awesome thing is that this meets that need and at the same time shows that there is a church in the community that loves them. The church provides food, and we throw the party, and it's awesome. It's just a no-brainer. And so some of you live in neighborhoods where maybe there needs to be a neighborhood nightlight. And so we're asking you to go on ahead and saying to you now, hey, this is going on. If you need to be praying about this and pray about doing one in your neighborhood, start praying now. Be praying for leadership. We're going to be meeting tomorrow night to be talking about making some decisions about some of that stuff. And then if you do feel led to do one and host one, maybe it's not your house. You know, this is the coolest thing. In our neighborhood, like nobody from our church actually hosted our house. We all decided that our yards weren't good enough. And there was like this one awesome yard in our neighborhood. So we just went to their house, like knocked on the door one day and was like, hey, can we like have a cookout in your yard for the neighborhood? And we did, and it was awesome, and they loved it. And turns out they go to another church, and they love Jesus, and they were excited about what we were doing. And, maybe you want to volunteer one of your neighbor's yards or something. But whatever it is, be praying about it. And if you do feel led to start one in your neighborhood this year, go to the welcome desk and let somebody know. Say, I want to start one. Sign me up. This is what neighborhood I live in. Maybe there's already somebody else in your neighborhood that's also praying and thinking the same thing. And maybe you need to join with them and talk with them. So just be thinking about it, praying about it. It's an awesome thing. God will use it, and he's going to lead people to the kingdom for it. And that's the awesome thing about it. So I want to pray for that. I want to pray for the lost, and I want to pray that we would be open to God's word as we learn a little bit about humility together. So let's do that together, okay? God, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and God, I pray that our hearts would be open to what you would have to say to us through your word this morning. God, I really pray that our hearts would be genuine as we think about this, that God, that we wouldn't fall into false humility, Lord, trying to make ourselves feel better, but God, that we would be real with ourselves, that we would be real with you. God, I pray, Lord, this morning for anyone that's here, Lord, that does not know you. God, I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't sit in another service before coming to know you. God, that they would, God, if you're speaking to their hearts, God, I pray, Lord, that they would listen to that. God, and that you would just draw them to you. God, have them, God, speak with someone before they leave today about what it means to know you as their Savior. God, I lift up the night lights, God, that are going to be happening here in a little over a month. God, I just pray that, God, that we would be ready, Lord, to love on people. And God, that Lord, you would use us through that, Lord, to lead people to you. God, that's the purpose. God, I pray, Lord, that we would live our lives that way and that it wouldn't just take events for us to do that type of thing. But God, that would be who we are, that we would humble ourselves in that way. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship together. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning, we are talking about humility. And I'll be honest, just to even teach on humility, it's just kind of one of those things that's like, you know, how do you talk about humility and be humble and all these things? And the truth is I'm sharing a lot out of God's Word today, and I hope that it communicates, and I hope that it comes across. You know, the key passage that we're hitting today is out of the book of James, and we'll get to it in a little bit, but the key little bit is that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And that passage is also found in either 1 or 2 Peter later on in Scripture, identically, you know, stated the same exact way. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And this idea of humility sounds so good. I mean, it just sounds so good. It's like we want to be humble, don't we? I mean, we really want that. You know, and the truth is that sometimes we want it for the wrong reasons, or sometimes, you know, we're just, our head's just not in the game with this. Sometimes the bigger issue is that our heart is not in the game on this. And I think that's probably the bigger deal that we have to struggle with, is the fact that many times our heart is not right. When we say that we want to be humble, when we say that we want humility, our heart's not right. What is going on is that a lot of times we're thinking, you know, if I could be humble, if I could do this, then God will bless me in this way. And there are preachers that will teach you that way. And they will teach you that if you will be humble, then you will get God's blessing. You know what I'm talking about? And they're liars. And they're taking God's word and they are manipulating it to try to get people to give money to the church or whatever it may be. Humility is one of those things that we have to watch. We have to watch ourselves, because it is so easy for us to want to just follow after doing something, sometimes for the wrong reason, and not be in our heart. I want to ask you this question. This is such a great question. I love this question. It might be one of the best questions I've ever come up with. What gets God's attention? What gets God's attention? That's a pretty crazy question. I mean, we all know that God is, you know, everywhere and all of these things. I mean, we understand those things. So then when we hear this question, like, well, what gets God's attention? Like, Chris, what? I don't even understand. What is that about? Well, there's a passage in Isaiah 66, verse 2. And it actually is the second part of this verse that I want us to look at. But in Isaiah 66, verse 2, it says this in the second part of this verse. It says, "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Humility gets God's attention. We see this in other places in Scripture. I didn't have time to unpack all of this stuff because it could be a message in of itself. But you can make a case for the fact that the humble get God's attention. You know, I think for us, you know, we think about, like, you know, people that we want their attention. I don't know about you, but there are probably, you know, people, if I sit and thought for very long about it, that, you know, if I could be in a room with them, you know, maybe they're famous, maybe they're not, maybe I just really appreciate work that they've done and I would like to learn from them, or, you know, I love being with them or whatever it is. But, you know, for all of us, we can say there are people that if, you know, we could be in a room with them, we would like to get their attention in some way, shape, or form. And I think for us to think about this morning that there is a way for us to get God's attention. I think that's an important thing for us to look at. And despite the fact that we are called to humility, this is something that we see in Scripture that we are being called to over and over, and we're going to see that in Scriptures that we're looking at this morning. But I think for us to understand that we can't be looking for humility for the wrong reasons. It's important that we check and examine our hearts. In fact, I encourage you, if you're into reading at all, and this is a little book, it's very short, it's an easy read, but it's called Humility, True Greatness, and it's by a guy by the name of C.J. Mahaney. It's a great book. I really recommend this book. True Greatness, Humility, True Greatness, C.J. Mahaney. Mahaney actually defines, he gives us a definition, working definition of humility in the book, and I love this definition. I want to share it with you. And it says this, it says, humility is honestly, check this out, honestly assessing ourselves in light of God's holiness and our sinfulness. Honestly assessing ourselves in the light of God's holiness and our sinfulness. Now, if you think back, and maybe you haven't had an experience like this, but I know for me personally, I've had many experiences when I have been in the presence of God, so to speak, say a worship service or, you know, whatever, when I'm hearing the preaching and teaching of His Word, which, by the way, is a powerful thing. And God uses that to speak, and it's one of the reasons that we're called to continue to meet together, is to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. But for us to understand that not only that, but in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, when that happens, I know many times my heart gets convicted. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not. Or I've been overwhelmed at times by the Holy Spirit because God's just speaking to my heart. I mean, I know that He is showing me some things about myself. And very simply put, one of the things that happens when we are hanging out with God, and this can happen in your own personal, you know, Bible study at times too, where we're spending time in His Word, we're praying or whatever it is. When we're hanging with God, I mean, He is holy. His holiness is perfect. And just like anything else, when you've got something that's perfect and you've got something that's far from perfect and you put them next to each other, the far from perfect kind of sticks out. It's a whole lot easier to see the flaws and to see the things that are going on. And that's what happens when we start examining our sinfulness with God's holiness. He begins to show us things about ourselves, things that are sinful, things that need to be changed, things that we need to overcome, things that we need Him to help us overcome. For us to honestly assess ourselves with God's holiness and our sinfulness is a huge thing for us to do. And the truth is a lot of us don't want to do it. We don't want to do it because we know what the answer is on the other side of it. We know that our sin needs to be dealt with. And for many of us, we don't want to deal with our sin. We don't want to deal with it. We'd rather sweep it under the rug, pretend like it doesn't exist. People don't know about it. God, I don't want to fool with that right now. We'll deal with that another day. Satan creeps in our head, starts telling us you're never going to overcome that sin. It's just always going to be there. It's not true. God, the power of the Holy Spirit, can help us to overcome a sin. Pride is probably this key element sin that just continually creeps up and creeps up, especially when it comes to thinking about humility. I think for a lot of us, we would probably, if we were, you know, doing man on the street questions and somebody came up to us and asked us, you know, do you feel like you're prideful? You know, for a lot of us, we'd go, no, not really. I'm good. You know, I don't think too much of myself or, you know, whatever. And some of you might go, oh, yeah, I'm cocky. But I think for us to understand that this is a key sin that keeps us from finding humility time and time again. In fact, this passage, James 4, we'll read it together. It says, but He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's such a big deal. You know, I think we see that and we read that and we understand, you know, okay, well, God doesn't want me to be proud. He wants me to be humble. And I can do that. But I think what happens so many times is we do. We fall into a false humility. We want to do it. We want to do it for the wrong reasons. We want to do it for a blessing. We don't want to do it because we love God. We just want to do it because we know it's the right thing to do. God is calling us to do this so that through our lives, He can be glorified. That people would understand that He is real by knowing us. You see, the truth is we as humans, we're great at being proud. I mean, we're great at it. We're so good at it. In fact, you know, for most of us, you know, we would say, oh yeah, well, I want to be humble. Yeah, I'm trying to be humble. Prime example, and I'm just, this is me. I'm giving you me right now. I'm not putting this on you because I know none of you really like this. But you know, this is me. Prime example, somebody walks up to me and says, hey, Chris, man, you did such a great job with that. That was so awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. And then I'm going, oh, okay, well, you know, thank you, man. It's not really me. You know, I'm just a lot of shrugging the shoulders and a little blushing, you know, or whatever. And, you know, but inside, what are we doing? Inside, we're like, yeah, me! Yeah! Way to go, me! I got that one right! You know? That's what we do. That's what we do. And like, you know, on the outside, we're like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I was trying to. That's false humility. It's false humility. It's not real. It's not real. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged. We all need to be encouraged. But there's a difference between being encouraged and living on our pride and putting so much stock into what other people think about us. You know, it's a turning of the key from worrying about what the masses of people think about us and start worrying about what God, the observer, thinks about us. It's a complete shifting of the tide to the other direction. That we would do things to please God and not please men. And man, I tell you what, when we start examining our entire life by pleasing God instead of pleasing ourselves or pleasing other people, it completely changes all of our decisions. All of our decisions. Things that didn't even bother us before begin to bother us. We start recognizing small sin in our life that we didn't even realize was sin. We didn't realize that we were living in sin. We just thought it was normal. I deal with this, and I'll be talking about this in this new series that we're going to be talking about when it comes to stewardship. I deal with this personally. We live in America. We have lots of stuff. I wake up some days and just go, what in the world am I doing with all this stuff? What in the world? And it's you know, it's just one of those things. And then there's other days when I'm so proud of my stuff that I'm clinging to it, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't let it go, you know? First service didn't get that, by the way, so it's a freebie to you guys. But I mean, that's how we feel, isn't it? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives more grace, it says. And I've taught on it before, and the last time I taught on it, I said, I don't even know that I can really explain how in the world He's giving us more grace, but somehow when we are humble, He is giving us more grace. And that's amazing to me, because the grace that He has given is the grace that is sufficient. It is enough. Humility is huge to God. It is huge to God. Pride is us elevating ourselves above one another or above God. And many times without realizing it, it's elevating ourselves above God. You know, the very classic example of this is us making decisions without thinking about what God cares about the situation. You know, we're so great at this because, you know, so many of us are leaders and managers, and man, we're just like popping through life. We're making decisions. We're making things happen. We're just like all over it, right? But what happens without realizing it is that we contend for the supremacy of God. And that's our pride. That's our pride, contending for the supremacy of God and not thinking a minute about asking Him or seeking Him in His word or in prayer about a decision that we're about to make that's going to change the lives of people. And so, see, then humility begins to ring true that this is going to affect everything in our lives. It's going to affect our family. It's going to affect our business, our career. It's going to affect our marriages. It's going to affect how we raise our kids. It's going to affect it all. And it just, you know, we think, oh, well, I got it under control. But see, the very basic is at times that we just do without God. We just live life without God. We go days at a time not even consulting Him for a single thing in our life. And we treat Him like an ATM, and we wake up and we say, God, I want this today. Instead of saying, God, what do you want today? Is my life going to matter for the kingdom today? Or is God, what can you do for my life today? And man, it just gets all over us. And we don't recognize how pride sneaks in and starts to take over. You would think of all people, you would think of all the people in the world, the guys that might get it would be the disciples, right? The disciples, they're hanging out with Jesus. And at least some of them we know get it later because they write about it. But there was a moment after they had been with Jesus for a while and they're arguing. If you can imagine a bunch of, you know, sailors and tax collectors and dudes that, you know, rugrats of society that Jesus has gone to and are now following Him, and they're arguing. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 33, we have this story. And we see what's happening, and it says this in verse 33, chapter 9 of the book of Mark. It says, and they came to Capernaum, and when He was in the house and asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued. It doesn't say that they tell Him. He knows what they're doing. They keep silent, for on the way, and this is why they keep silent, they don't want to tell Him, they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? Who was the greatest? And He sat down and called the 12, and He said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And He took a child and He put him in the midst of them, and taking him in His arms, He said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but Him who sent me. Awesome passage. Awesome teaching moment for the disciples. And they're acting like they're the heavyweight champions of the world or something. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? They're arguing. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest among us? And, you know, and we hear that. And we see that, and we go, we would never do that, right? We would never do that. We would never say, who's the greatest? That's not something that we would do. Really? We're sizing each other up all the time, aren't we? Back in August, I started the master's program that I'm finishing in June. Praise Jesus. I am so tired of flying on planes. But when I went in August and sat down with these men that I did not know. This is all I knew. This is a whole bunch of pastors from all over the country and even some from out of the country. And I'm thinking, you know, I wonder what these guys are like. I bet they've got it going on. But I'm thinking in my head, you know, I got to size these guys up. I wonder if their ministry is bigger than ours and all this stuff. I know you don't think like this, okay? This is just me. And later on, now that we've been together for months, you know, we actually talk about even that first week that we were together, you could feel us sizing each other up. Because we were going around and sharing who we were and where we were from and, you know. And the truth is that we care so much about what other people think sometimes that our pride gets the best of us. And really what we're asking is, who's the greatest? Am I better than you? I'm going to size you up and find out if I'm better than you. I bet I am. I bet I know more than you about this. I bet I could do this better than you can. That's pride. It's sin, and God wants us to kill it. He wants to help us overcome it. Now you would think, the disciples had this great teaching moment. Jesus talks about children. He talks about what it means to know him and that by knowing him, you know the Father. And I mean, just all this awesome, awesome scripture, right? Right? The disciples, they just had this teaching moment. I'm not going to read it, but if you go to the very next chapter in the book of Mark, in chapter 10 of the book of Mark, we have these two guys, two of the 12 disciples, James and John, that are brothers, and they've been talking, and they come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, we got something we want you to do for us. If you can imagine doing that to Jesus, it sounded a little cocky, honestly, even the way the scripture puts it. And Jesus says, okay, guys, what can I do for you? And they say, well, Jesus, we know that soon you're going to be in glory and heaven, and we want to sit on the right and left-hand sides of you. We would like to do that. Can we do that? Will you make that happen, Jesus? That'd be great. With a small fry. And Jesus is like, you idiots. He doesn't say that. I'm sure he's thinking it. I guess maybe he can't because he can't sin. But I'm thinking it. And I'm going, this is the very next chapter. Just a short period of time after Jesus had this great teaching moment with them about what it means to be humble, and here he is in the midst of that, and they're going, hey, Jesus, we would like to be the famous guys in heaven. What is that? That's us. We want to be recognized. We want to be famous for something, don't we? And our heart's like way down in there, you know, if we're real honest today, we're like, oh yeah, I'd like to be famous. Even if it's just for like, you know, I make, you know, the world's greatest throwing tomahawk or something. You know, I don't know. You know, we just come up with something. You know, we want to be recognized. We want that. We want that power that comes with that. And again, it's just us contending for the supremacy of God. It's us trying to put ourselves in his place and trying to take him out of it. It's the oldest sin in the book. We see it with Adam, and we see it before the time of creation. Go to Satan himself. Check out in the book of Isaiah where Satan falls. Why does he fall? Why does, you know, Satan was an angel. He was a good guy at one point in time. He falls because Satan decides it would be a real good idea for him to attempt, and he starts making plans with other angels. He's like, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go set up a throne in the clouds, and everybody's going to think that I'm awesome. And God's like, you're not. And that's what we do. Because we decide that our way is better than God's. And we know that God wants us to deal with the sin, but we don't want to because our way is better than God's. And we decide that, you know, Scripture teaches that, but I really don't want to do that because my way is better than God's. Yeah. It's not. It's not. For us to humble ourselves means that we're willing to be corrected over our sin when we put it next to His holiness. And I'm just like you. I'm a sinful man, full of pride, just trying to come under the grace of God and trying not to let that overcome me. Humility is one of those things that we generally, when we as Christians think about it, we think, well, you know, that's something that God calls us to. I think something, you know, amazing about it is that God created it. Of course, it's in this world, and it exists outside of even our faith in people that are not even believers. For example, Jim Collins wrote this book, Good to Great. It's a leadership book. I can get into that stuff sometimes, and I have it. And the basics of the book, you don't have to buy it, because I'll just tell you what it is, you know, basically he, you know, goes and looks at these companies that were good companies, but then they became great companies. And he's looking at them and he's asking this list of questions and examining how did that company go from being good to being great. And there's a couple things really, and it really all kind of fell on like their CEOs a lot of times and like the leaders of these companies. And it came down to, number one, the CEO was usually like a really driven, like gonna make it happen type of person, man or woman, whatever, but they just, you know, just were go-getters. Weren't gonna lay down. They might get kicked down, but they're gonna get back up and they're gonna keep going, they're gonna keep trying, they're gonna figure it out. And secondly, when you would talk to the employees of that company about that person, that CEO person, and you would ask them, tell me about that person, they would say things like, well, you know, they're really kind and they're really nice and they're always willing to listen. And they're great at building us up and making us feel like we're doing a good job. And they encourage us well. And when we're not doing well, they're great at being able to show us where we're missing the mark, but, you know, not making us feel like trash over it and still continuing to encourage us to do better. They're humble. They're humble people. That's not typically something we think about going with the business world. And I hear that, and if I were a CEO of a big corporation or something, I would hear that and go, gosh, really need to watch that in my life. But I'm afraid it would be for the wrong reason. I'm afraid it would be what's considered false humility, because it would be because I want to make more money or I want to grow the corporation. Right now, in this moment, I can say, because I have spent a lot of time praying over it, that I want to be humble because I know it's what God wants me to do. And because I know that He's glorified through it, because we as human beings are not humble on our own. And the only way to justify the type of humility that is a godly humility that is based in Scripture, not based on a leadership book, is for us to be able to point to Jesus. And humility is hard. And we struggle over it, and it undermines the church. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, show us a very, very, very important thing that Paul has for us. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it says this, says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, I love this, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what this passage is about? Paul is writing this passage about, he's writing it to believers about keeping peace and unity within the church. Within the church. For our church, for the church, to have unity, for it to have peace, it must have, verse 2, all humility and gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love and eager to maintain the unity. You know what that means? That means that when Satan comes in and he tempts somebody to do something really stupid inside the church, and you know, and it can be just as simple as not saying hello the right way or whatever it might be, that we don't get wound up, but that we are eager to keep the unity because we are humble people, and we can be humble because we have a Savior named Jesus Christ. That we can have that gentleness, that we can have that patience, and that, and as Paul is writing this, I can so see this, and I'm just wondering, like, what is Paul seeing? Like, what situation in the church did he see where, like, people were like, wow, you know? But this passage right here, just bearing with one another in love. I mean, just the wording of itself says it all. That they would know that, yeah, they're not perfect. We're gonna bear with them. We're gonna bear with them through them being dumb. We're going to bear with them through them being sinful or whatever it may be. But that they would be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you see humility, again, playing such a huge part. And this message is not about the church today. But the truth is that without humility, the church will crumble. Case in point, in the Mahaney book, and I've heard other people say things very similar to this. He's talking about a guy that goes to their church, and C.J. Mahaney, I believe, was a church planter many years ago, and the church is about 25 years old. He's talking about how they were having this big anniversary thing at their church. And during the anniversary thing, one of the pastors is on the stage, and he's talking, he's kind of going through these points of things that church has always stood on, things that have always been important to that church. And a small group leader that was sitting out in the congregation listening to this pastor talk about these things that are so important to that church. And that guy that's sitting out in the congregation, he was thinking about the church that he had come from, which had split. And I'm sure that you've at least heard of a church that has split or, you know, whatever. It's not an abnormal thing, unfortunately. But as he's hearing that and he's talking about that, And he's listening to this pastor go through these points, he's asking himself the question, why did that church split? What is the difference between this church and that church? And the guy's going through the list, and at the top of the list is, you know, we believe in the Word of God, and we stand in it, and we teach it and preach it. And he's going, okay, well, my church, that other church did that. He's going, and we believe that we're called to love others and minister to others. Well, yeah, my church, you know, did that. And that we're called to live lives of worship and glorify God. And that church did that. And he kind of keeps going through the list, and he keeps going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And finally, he gets down to this point. And he says this, and he says, you know, and here at our church, we have always, always done everything that we could possibly do to try to maintain that our leadership would be full of humility, always willing to listen, always trying to love and not be false and putting on a show or anything like that. And the guy was like, that's it. You see, a lack of humility can absolutely tear apart. The sin of pride can absolutely tear a church apart. Can absolutely tear a family apart, a business apart. Pride kills. It is sin, and sin kills. And I got to thinking, you know, this is really at the core of all of this. This is really about whether or not we really trust God. Do we really trust God in everything? Everything in our life? And if God spoke to our heart and said, hey, do that for me. Do that thing that would seem insane to everybody around you, but do it and do it for me. And don't tell people that you did it for me unless they ask, but don't put on a show for people and go, hey, look what I did. Just do it. You see, we should long for God's providential help and blessing. God wants that from us. He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to trust Him and have faith in Him and for Him to be our provider. And that's tough for us because we love taking control. Last night I was watching TV and it was a commercial on. It was a Sam Adams commercial. It was a beer commercial. And I was watching this commercial and I thought, man, this commercial is such a great example of humility. And I'll explain. The commercial was basically, talking about, that there's such a little company. And it's kind of even saying, they say things like, people would be surprised at the size of our building. And they show a picture of this, old brick building, it's just kind of got like this cobblestone street, New England feel. I'm like thinking, oh wow, yeah, that really is a small building and stuff, And they're just saying, so many people probably think that we're really big, but honestly, we're only 1% of the American beer market. And they're selling down the road. Hey, look at us, we are small. And they're selling humility is what they're selling. They're saying, look, we're not the greatest. But in essence, they're saying, we're great. It's not the right kind of humility. And then I got to thinking about another example of humility. It's the final thing that I want to share with you this morning. It's in Philippians 2, verse 7. And Philippians 2, verse 7 says this. It says, talking about Jesus, it says, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And that's our Savior. Jesus is humility. He embodies it. He gave us the greatest example of it. He humbled himself in becoming like a man all the way through his life, even to the point of death on a cross. And I read that and I think, how could I not want to be humble before God? How could I possibly get so caught up in being so concerned with what other people think that I completely miss the boat and not be concerned with what God thinks? Nathan read the passage earlier. He must increase and I must decrease. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. For so many of us that don't deal with our pride, we are on the path to destruction. We will spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out why in the world our life is just not seeming to come together, especially when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. And it's because we keep holding on to pride and it is leading us to destruction. Are we dependent on God or are we dependent on ourselves? Are we getting God's attention with our life? Because we care more about glorifying Him than we care about doing what we want to do. It's the hardest question that we may ever ask ourselves as believers. Are we getting His attention? And this morning, the truth is there's probably some of you here today that you've never received Christ as your Savior. And I said it earlier in the service, but I'll say again, don't wait. If God is speaking in your heart, don't wait. Do that today. Listen to what He's saying to you. We'll have people back here in the corner that would be glad to talk and pray with you about that. God humbled Himself even to death on a cross so that our sin could be forgiven, so that we might be saved. And the power that is in that is unreal and unmatched by anything that has ever happened in history. It's unbelievable. And we have the opportunity to connect to it and be saved by it. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, come today and get to know Him. If you do know Jesus as your Savior today, be humbled by His word and live a life that glorifies Him and does not glorify us. My prayer is not that our church becomes something where we keep building million-dollar buildings. The thing with our church is this, that we exist to glorify God, that we want to make Him more famous. And honestly, we're going to do everything we can to not have to build buildings, but we're going to do everything that we can to reach the lost. And you can pray for that. You can pray for the church, just like you can pray for yourself, and you can pray for each other as believers, that we could lift one another up, asking that we wouldn't be about building our own kingdoms, that we would be about building His kingdom. Are you getting God's attention? I hope so. I hope so. Let's pray together. God, I thank You so much for Your word. God, it is awesome. And I don't use that word lightly, Lord. It is unbelievable what You show us about ourselves. God, just the simple act of us putting our sinfulness next to Your holiness opens doors to our hearts that sometimes we don't even want to honestly look at. But God, You are calling us to give honest assessments of ourselves. And God, as we do so, I pray that we wouldn't do so and then just walk away. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to kill sin and that we would be willing to glorify You in any way possible with the rest of our lives. God, guide us and direct us in that. For the lost person that is here that does not know You, God, I pray, Lord, that they would run to receive You today, that they would speak with someone before they get out of here, that, God, they would come to know You today. Work on their hearts. God, let them know that we cannot wait, Lord, to accept them in to Your family. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for humbling Yourself on a cross. In the name of